Hey, you guys, this is The Mask, and you guys are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. And you know what? You are smoking!
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek. Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure in geekdom is
DFG1 Mike.
And Mike Booth Ninja Powers for the second week in a row, or the second Woo-hoo. Episode in a row.
Yes. Yes, Altered Geek is now on a bi-weekly schedule. You're only getting Altered Geek twice a month.
Because it's all geek all the time, twice
That's
a month.
Right. That's right.
That's a schedule I seem to be able to work with.
Hey. Whatever works. We all have fun around here anyways. So let's see. There's a lot that's happened since the last episode. I'd like to say that there has been a lot, it seems, between Apple and their unprofessional visions and basically everybody abandoning SDCC and Steve has a new 3D printer that he's going to talk about in a little bit. I've never, like, I know someone who is actually, right before the pandemic, my buddy Doug Abel, he lives out there in San Diego, and he was a San Diego Comic-Con goer for 20 plus years. And then obviously the pandemic hit. Comic-Con was at home for a while. But it seems like all of these companies, now that they're all either eating themselves up from the inside or whatever, they all don't care about going to Comic-Con anymore because ain't nobody going to be at Comic-Con this year. And this year it's a little different because currently we have the SAG-AFTRA and the AMPTP.
The Writers strike. Guild and the Actors Guild
strike. Yes. The Actors Guild and Writers Guild strike. And
which means after everything that's currently in production and being shot that they've already, you know, mm-hmm. written is done, we're going to have a little lull.
Oh, yeah.
We've been here before.
Yeah, we've been here before.
True.
Yeah.
The movies were atrocious and it was wonderful times.
Yeah, it's when we got Star Trek Into Darkness and Revenge of the Fallen.
And Quantum of Solace and Wolverine Origins.
Yep, so a lot of the movies that are sequelitis.
Although, the only one out of all those that I mentioned, I will defend Quantum of Solace as just being Casino Royale Part 2.
Yeah, it really was. Which means, for me, it turned into the Quantum of Boredom.
Aww.
The other ones I mentioned were rehashes or just poorly written. So,
yes, very much so, especially on the Transformers front.
Well, yeah, I wasn't much of a fan of the Star Trek film either. But
yeah, no.
But yeah, it doesn't surprise me, though, that Comic-Con is kind of floundering. I mean, for one, a lot of these organizations are cutting programs left and right.
Yeah.
Probably somewhat due to the Writers Guild and the Actors Guild. But the fact that they're just trying to cut costs.
Yeah.
And so this is just another one of those ways that they can cut it. And between removing programs completely from their services and canceling ones that were already previously, you know, I'm looking at Paramount for this one, but previously greenlit and shot and done other than post-production. And then they're like, yeah, by the way, yeah, we're canceling the show. It can be shopped somewhere else. And they kind of inserted foot and mouth for the Star Trek. They're like, everything Star Trek on one, you know, the home of Paramount. And then they're like, by the way, we're canceling Prodigy and shipping it out to somewhere else. And so it's no longer that home. And then they send an email, you know, oh, by the way, we're raising our prices.
Well, that's been coming for a long time.
Yeah. No explanation, though, in the email, which was funny because like Netflix, when they send one, they're diplomatic about it. You know, they're like, hey, we're, you know, we're raising prices, but it's so that we can bring you more great content, so we can do this, so we can do that for you, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Paramount's like, no, we're just raising the price.
Well, no, see, that's not, it's not, it wasn't just that. It's, we're adding, we're, they're moving the Showtime content into it. So
yeah,
it's not, we're raising the price for nothing. It's, there isn't going to be a Showtime tier anymore. So it's all under one app. So it's like, we'll cut the cost of
having two apps.
Yeah. And it's like, we'll cut the cost of, you know, Showtime by half, and we'll just add that onto the subscription price for Paramount Plus. So, but like, it wasn't nothing. It was just, it sucks all around that they raised the price. I just don't want to. It sounds like it's nothing if there's nothing on Showtime that you want to watch.
I part of it, but just because I think that it just didn't come right out and say it right at the start. Like, it, I think it's mentioned it later, and by then I kind of glossed over.
Mm.
So,
I've been waiting. Yeah, I do remember reading that now. I've been waiting for that merger. There's stuff on Showtime that I want to watch, and I didn't want to pay for Showtime. So,
well, all of the streaming services are going to collapse into themselves, like we're talking about with Paramount Plus getting Showtime. HBO Max is no longer HBO Max, it's just Max, and it's going to have, so is it going to still have all the, I don't even remember if it's still having the all the HBO content, or is it just,
no, they got rid of, they
offloaded it.
They offloaded a bunch of high profile stuff to,
that's right,
Tubi.
Yep.
Hmm.
But at the same time, though, it kind of makes sense, because if you, I mean, I kind of get what they're, I, it, does it suck? Yes. But I get what they're doing, because if you've got, like, let's just say one of the shows I got rid of was Westworld, but like, and I really like that show, but how many people like would really go back and like watch that, like, once it's done and it's just sitting there, like, how many active people are actively watching that on their service, and it's just sitting there when they could go and say, like, the show moved to Tubi, but let's just say, for example, if it was more high profile streaming service and Netflix was like, oh, we'll give you, you know, $100 million to be able to stream Westworld for, you know, X number of years. I mean, $100 million shot in the arm is way better than like four or five people regularly binge watching Westworld on repeat.
No, and I get that. Like, yeah. I mean, it's more so the quick dump and purge, and then kind of never release it again, I guess. Because, like, I know Disney pulled a bunch of stuff, and then Paramount's kind of going in that same route, unless it's something that's like super high profile. And again, I don't fault them, because, like, I know, you know, they're all trying to cut costs, and, you know, with inflation and trying to consolidate different services, and a lot of them are kind of merging with other platforms still. But it's still kind of interesting.
I miss the old days when everybody just paid Hulu or Netflix to have shows on their services. And the other thing is, these subscription services, they don't really do anything for, and I know, Mike, you've told us before in the past, and you probably, I don't know if you still do this or not, but like, you've told us that you've like used like a free trial and then subscribed for a little while, unsubscribed, came back later, blah, 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 and all that. But these subscription services rely on, hey, if you're new, you can get this free trial, and then your subscription starts. And like that all this stuff rely, even cable still relies on nuke. They don't give loyalty to the people that just, okay, I've gotten the deal for 2 years, I'm still going to stick with your service because I still like watching what's on your service. Like, they give nothing to those of us that actually just stay and pay.
Well, and that's all subscription services. That's not exclusive.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying that, like, okay, I understand giving the new people the deal the one time over, but you should also give your returning subscribers a deal too at the same time. At least once a year, maybe. I don't know.
Mm, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I think about that all the, I don't really think about that with like streaming services. I think about that more with like service providers. Like, mm-hmm. like it's like, oh, if you could afford to give like the new guy, if you could afford to send a guy out and hook somebody's service up and they get $44 a month for high speed internet for, you know, 2 years without a rate increase, like mm-hmm. you don't have to send anybody out to me. Why can't you just give me the $44 like yep. deal? You're not, it's just that's the kind of stuff that kind of bothers me. But at the same time, like right now with like the way my stuff is, my services are like bundled, I'm taking them to the cleaners.
Okay.
Yeah, so if I call with any type of like an issue or something like that, I don't push as hard as I would if I wasn't like. So
if you don't want to reveal this, you don't have to.
No, it's not that big of a deal because I don't think anyone from AT&T listens to this. But I am in. So I have companies give you. You know, certain corporate companies and stuff like that, they'll give employees like an employee discount, mm-hmm. right? For like cell service. If you like, you've got Verizon, if you're an employee, show your employee badge, you get 22% off, or AT&T, you get 21%. You know, they do that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, AT&T and Verizon also have, this might make me look like a bad person, but they also have first responder discounts.
Okay.
My work badge says emergency responder on it. Okay. And so I went into AT&T and I said, does this qualify? And the guy at the AT&T store was like, yeah, it qualifies, blah, blah, blah. So they signed me up for it. So the real kicker is, though, like a lot of like the corporate plans mm-hmm. are, they give you 21% off of your line access. Not mm-hmm. not your plan, but your line access.
Right.
The first responder discount is 25% off your entire bill.
Oh, wow.
Well, they do that, too, if you work for places that, like, my wife used to work for Chase Bank. And yeah. they would give a 15 or 20% discount for her having worked there. And we had that grandfathered in forever until we switched to Boost and got an unlimited everything for $25 a month and used the AT&T tower. So.
Yeah. So I got, but yeah, I'm, I don't know. I, our internet bill, our bill all told for our phones and for the fiber internet we have and stuff like that is around $100.
Hmm. Cool.
So, and I don't like if I have an issue with my bill or something like that, I'll call and ask about it, just kind of like, but I won't rock the boat too hard because I'm like, all right, you can win this because I'm still not paying you the extra like $200 a month I probably should be or something like that. Like I'm not, it's like you can have this. But going back to what kind of brought this whole thing up though, which was the Comic-Con thing. And people pulling out of that, like mm-hmm. it's very similar to what's been happening with E3 for the last like decade, I'll say.
Yeah.
Like the big three, they've stopped going. They don't do. I mean, the last few years, no one could go, right? But like even before that, a lot of companies had pulled out and they were doing their own streaming event.
Yeah,
it was here's a pre-recorded video like PlayStation has like the state of play stuff and Nintendo drops Nintendo Directs whenever they feel like they want to drop something on the internet.
Yeah,
I don't really know what Microsoft does, except they seem to have like a video or something that comes out at around like the time the normal video game conferences would have occurred. So the thing is like. E3, though, being it was slightly different because it was more for vendors and stuff like that to go and see kind of what was coming. Yeah, the consumers could go, but like Comic-Con, like, I mean, I read some stuff that like it is I've read some articles like in the past about, is Comic-Con only Comic-Con because of the movie stuff, or do they, or does the movie stuff wreck the Comic-Con experience because you've got other, you've got people that are just coming for the movie stuff and pushing everybody that actually is there for the Comic-Con stuff like out. And so I guess like reclaim, like Comic-Con, like kind of like reclaiming itself is fine. My, what I'm curious about is, if these people, if these companies aren't showing up, what are they doing to peddle their stuff? Like, because nobody's, yeah. I haven't seen anyone go, oh, we're going to have, I guess Disney's kind of done it on Disney Plus a couple of times, but they have, yeah. they haven't done anything like.
Well, what was it last year that they were at Comic-Con and they blew their wad for phases 5 and 6 for Marvel, where they're like, this is almost everything that we want to talk about right now, and it's going to be up until 2028 or whatever the heck it was.
But even still, like, I've wondered for the longest time, in the advent of streaming, you know, YouTube and streaming stuff like that, like, why were the movie vendors going to Comic-Con? And also, why couldn't I pay to view a live stream of said, like a pay-per-view thing of said conference? Yeah. Cause you know, like they're always like, oh, this is only for the people that like pay to be here. Well, let me pay to watch it like on my computer at home. You know, yeah. like why are you gatekeeping this? You have fans that want to give you, that would willingly give you money. I think we've actually talked about like the Comic-Con as like pay-per-view thing, like a long time ago on Alter Geek before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like it's so weird that there are these avenues that they want, that they can take, but they haven't taken them, and now the studios are pulling out of Comic-Con to not use it as their announcement. So my curiosity is, where are they going to make these announcements? Probably it's going to be on their own platforms, but
most likely.
That's fine, but I would like to know what that looks like.
Well, like a number of years ago, there was a website where they were doing live coverages of Comic-Cons and other original content, and it kind of went belly up, too. I think they only did it for like 1 year because it was just not catching on the way they thought it would.
Yeah. And the thing of it is you're asking the question of what that would look like, of where these other, like, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, etc., all these, any insert any movie, gaming, whatever company you want to say, they all have YouTube channels. Look at Hasbro and Hasbro Pulse puts on fan streams for every single brand that they have and they produce. They have G.I. Joe streams, they have Transformers streams, they have Marvel whatever action figure streams, they have Dungeons and Dragons streams, for crap's sake. Like, YouTube streaming for the channels that they have on YouTube, I'm sure that's where it would end up, most likely. But the thing is what if for some unknown reason or some, like, let's say, and just really quickly to go back to what you were saying about the movies pulling out or Comic-Con or whatever, I remember Comic-Con it was originally, obviously, it's Comic-Con. It was a comic convention. It was for writers, artists, it was for comic book companies, etc. And then SDCC somehow saw, oh, hey, look, movie studios, let's do that. Let's do TV. Let's do these big events. And that's what it had been from, I don't even know, but I'm going to say 2007 to 2018.
I think it was that, well, long before that, but yeah.
But let's just go with that as an example. And like, there were plenty of times where I would look at the SDCC guest list of signings of people I would want to stand in line for to either meet or have. Steve, you've had several of these experiences where you've gotten to go to TFCon and meet David Kay or meet Gary Chalk or whatever it is. You know, I would have loved to have had the chance to have that. And I don't think in the last few years, pandemic notwithstanding, when SDCC has happened in person, that they've really – I'm sure there still are signings. I'm sure there still are events and panels and things like that. But, like, we have Star Wars Celebration for Star Wars stuff, and they did that over in Europe this year. That was okay. sure, great. But not everyone has the money or the means, or even if you're, you know, someone who works hard, works 40 hours a week and makes lots of money, not everyone has the money, even if you did save up to go to Comic-Con for 5 days. You obviously have to pick your set days of, like, what your vacation would allow or whatever kind of thing. And I would rather pay a fee to watch a live stream of the event or of these panels if I had to get the experience or to get that live information than actually get on a plane and go to California again. I already did that once in 2016, and that was not fun.
But at the same time, though, like, thinking about it, like, maybe it's just because you said it and I'm just being being contrarian here, but, like, at the end of the day, like, I know I said I would pay a fee to, like, watch this stuff, but at the end of the day, like, would I really, like, even if they did provide it? Because in my brain, like, just having this conversation, I'm going, you want me, now you're asking me to pay you to sell me an ad for your upcoming stuff. Like, so it's a six of one, half dozen of another. I mean, maybe if it was like a panel, like, if it was something I was interested in, but if it's just like Kevin Feige getting up there and, like, talking about, like, the future of Marvel, like, before it implodes, like, no, I don't want to pay to see that. You're just serving me up an ad with a nice PowerPoint behind you. Like, no, thank you. I'm not going to pay for that.
No. And I really do think when they had that SDCC with the Phase 5 and the Phase 6 and they blew the wad on it. Like, they did all that way too soon. Like, yeah, give us some stuff, but don't give us two phases that who knows if they're even going to happen.
Well, the thing is the bubble is starting to burst on a lot of this stuff. People are just kind of, I don't know, tired of the stories or just not, it's not as unpredictable as it once was. It's gotten very formulaic on a lot of stuff. And so I think, and plus, people are just, I think, just wanting something new.
Mm-hmm. See, for me, like, especially with, like, the Marvel stuff, I would, for me, like, all of Phase 4, like, every movie in Phase 4 and everything, well, everything that's come out post, like, Endgame.
Yeah.
With the exception of Black Widow, because that's in the first part in my head. But everything that's come out post Endgame has been just throwing crap at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
And I know that they had, like, a plan and the pandemic, like, wrecked all that stuff. But now, like, everything's out of order. Everything's, like, delayed, and everything's being done on like the super cheap, not even like Phase 1 cheap, but, like,
well, this, super cheap. The CGI alone has been horrible.
Right. Like, and it's that's because they're floundering and they're trying to make these big movies, like, on a much smaller budget, but it's ending up, it's they're hurting. They're hurting themselves by trying to not hurt themselves. But, like, there isn't, like, a with Phase 1, 2, and 3, there was something for you to, like, from the get-go, there was something for you to, like, sink your teeth in and get invested. And everything post-Endgame, there isn't anything for anyone that even wants to follow something. Like, everyone got so used to going to see these things, to see these movies for the next piece of the story. The problem is now you've made X number of movies and X number of TV shows, and nobody has any idea what your plot or story or any of it is.
Yeah, because they're all just kind of going all over the place.
And then it's and I know there are people that go, oh, well, that's what they did with the first stuff, and they picked all this stuff up. No, you can say that now in hindsight, but the Infinity Stones were there, like, early on enough, like, that was like the thing that they latched onto, that you could follow that really loose thread through the whole thing. And there isn't that one tiny little thread that they can sit there and go, oh, well, we're going to weave this through everything, because dang, I watch these things and I'm like, I'm sitting there going, I don't know why this movie mattered. And so I wait for the next one and go, maybe the next one will make the entire picture like even better. But then that movie ends up being somehow less than the previous one. But that's because there's nothing. There's nothing there. Like I often I get, you know, some hate from some people by saying Endgame is only the movie that it is because of 22 other movies that came before it. Like, you don't like Endgame by itself. Nothing in Endgame lands if you haven't seen 22 other movies.
Right.
Pretty much.
Like, and so yeah, Endgame is a great movie, and it's pretty, it's well acted. It's a great movie, but it's not that movie without the 22 that preceded it. And so with everything that's happened now, like, I had that hope that like, oh, this one will fix that one, or that one will fix this. And there hasn't been the movie that corrals everything to right the ship. And they're not doing it in their TV shows. Like, there's just so much stuff being left on the ground. I don't know. That's why I'm losing interest.
Yeah. And I understand that. There have been three Marvel television shows that I was interested in seeing. One is animated, two are live action. Obviously, the animated one is What If. That was cool. The other two were Hawkeye and Falcon and Winter, because I like Anthony Mackie as Falcon. So I like that character. I like seeing what his journey is going to be. And Steve knows this. I'm a broken, 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 broken record. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again, like I say it on the Transformers podcasts we do. You bring in Unicron to the Transformers, that is a crescendo. That is the very last big thing you do before you reset the universe. You have a movie called Endgame, like you just said, with the 22 preceding movies building up to it. It's the Endgame. There is no more continuation. It's the end, period. Like, yeah, they eventually did, obviously, save the world and return the Infinity Stones and all that and everything else, and it was not necessarily a super happy ending, but it wasn't a cliffhanger like Infinity War was, but it was set up to be a cliffhanger. I know Infinity War was set up to be a cliffhanger, but the point with Endgame is, poof, snap your fingers, you just ended the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Endgame. And yet these things continued. I'm mildly curiously interested in Secret Invasion, just because I like Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. I've only seen the first episode as of this recording.
But the thing is that post-Endgame?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's only because of him and his character that I'm interested in it. It has nothing to do with the fact that Endgame ended the universe, because supposedly they're done with the crappiness that was Phase 4 and they're moving into whatever they're going to do in Phase 5.
I'm not even invested anymore. Like, I enjoyed the recent Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they drew on the previous two other Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started about. No.
I liked it because of that. Yes,
okay.
It's more of a fan service. I'll give you that, but I enjoyed it for what it is. That being said, I feel like The Flash was almost the same thing, but not done as well.
I can see that, and I haven't seen The Flash, so. But
it, yeah.
Come on, Mike, speak up.
No, I can't speak to. I don't want to speak to The Flash because I don't.
Not The Flash. You're Spider-Man. Speak up.
Oh.
Come on. I triple
first of all, I am no fan of Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
I'm not either.
But again,
that's why I was happy that the other two came back.
I was very, very, very excited that Andrew Garfield came back. Like, that was the whole reason I wanted to see that movie, is because I wanted to see Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man again. But like that, and that's the thing. I feel like there's been a number of movies that have just tried to like maybe it's just been Spider-Man and now the Flash, but I feel like there was something else that was just trying to cash in on all that
nostalgia
built up. Yeah. The built up fan base, nostalgia, fan, like all of it just, and like, oh, you know what it is? You know, I had a bad taste in my mouth for the third Spider-Man movie because I'm just going to say it ripped off Into the Spider-Verse. They literally saw what Into the Spider-Verse did and how popular that was and said, can we make this in live action? And they went, yeah, back up a Brinks truck. We'll bring everybody back. Like, I don't, and so I had a chip in my shoulder from the get-go because, yeah, Tom Holland's going to walk away having been, like, the best, having had the Spider-Man movie with the highest box office, and he's going to have the movie in Phase 4 that has the highest box office numbers also. Like, but it's not like...
It's not his doing.
He didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not... It's like smoke and mirrors. Again, it's like Endgame being good, like, on its own.
I am inevitable.
And people might find that fun. Like I said, I was excited to see Andrew Garfield come back and get to play Spider-Man again because I'm not afraid to say this. I liked him better than Tobey Maguire. So
see, I like Tobey Maguire better than I liked.
See, he's just so whiny to me. I can't.
He is, but it was nice seeing his character come back.
I mean, it was nice seeing them all come back, but my favorite is my favorite live action Spider-Man is going to be Andrew Garfield. So
well, yeah, I mean, he fit the character the best out of the three, but
it was just like, well, let's just repeat this in live action, and it's just like, see, you're not even doing anything original. And that's been my whole I the other thing I haven't liked about Tom Holland from the get-go is like his Spider-Man movies don't feel like his Spider-Man movies are not the same Spider-Man movies that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies were.
Yeah.
His Spider-Man movies completely rely on everything that came before it and the world that it's like set in, like heavily reliant on Iron Man for the first two movies and even still reliant on Iron Man for like part of the third movie. Like, so I'm hoping
happy.
I'm hoping that like, well, they brought back the whole arc reactor thing too.
Yep.
Like, it's just that the Tony Stark thing just will not die, and I don't know why, but
it's because
Marvel and Disney want him to come back.
But at the end of the day, like, I feel like the way that was it. I'm trying to remember because I've only seen them both once. Maybe it's the same freaking movie. I feel like the way that the last Spider-Man movie ended, it set it up for Tom Holland to finally get his own Spider-Man movie.
It did, because it wiped the slate clean.
Right. And I really hope that that's what it is. I hope there isn't any like Iron Man gadgets, Iron Man like tech suits, AI in the suit. I don't want like, no. No, no. Like I want to see Tom Holland be the Peter Parker Spider-Man that, you know, he was set up to be like in Civil War, where he had that suit made out of like sweatpants and welding goggles. Like, show me that Tom Holland Spider-Man. Don't give me Iron Spider.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't. So that's been my knock against. But like, don't get me wrong, I like the other like, if you cut out all the Iron Man stuff from the first Spider-Man movie, I like that movie. But again, that still relies heavily on, you can't cut it out too much because you've still got the Stark Tower and where the Vulture gets all his technology from, and all that stuff is all heavily tied into the attack on New York. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's yeah, it's always been a sore spot. I'm just, and my hope for the Flash, and I don't want one indication one way or the other. My
I won't hope tell for
the
you.
Flash is that it's some sort of a pseudo decent send off to the Snyderverse, because but even then, saying that out loud, like, I don't even know how that happens, because unless Jeffrey Dean Morgan shows up as Thomas Wayne, I cry, you know, it won't land.
I will say that they took the premise of Flashpoint and kind of did their own thing.
Yeah, I knew that's what it was going
but
to
I
be.
But I figured it out beforehand because I saw the toys in the store.
I mean, I've had some stuff like spoiled. Like, I'm not like completely blind to what happens in the movie. I just like, I'm just hoping it's a.
They did. There's an aspect that they honor what's come before, I'll say, without spoiling anything, and then just kind of leaving it as is. But there's also a point where you can tell things are going to definitely change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, take that for what you will. I'm not going to spoil it. But yeah, there were aspects that I did like. Obviously, Keaton coming back. And how they did that was kind of funny. And then there's a couple of unexpected cameos. So
I just I am
Mike will be happy. I'll just put it this way.
I already know who all the cameos are.
Okay. Yeah, that's just not saying out loud.
Yeah, you ain't conning this air.
I know about that.
No, there's a different one that I'm referring.
Okay.
I think I know about. I know about.
It's in the last 5 minutes.
So. Yep, I know about that one.
Okay.
I going back to shoot when this thing first started. I am unapologetically a fan of Zack Snyder and the Snyderverse stuff for DC. Like I liked what he was putting down like the entire time, unapologetically. So, I'm sad to see that get destroyed. And I know I do not pity or feel any sympathy for James Gunn and the uphill battle that he has, because I just don't know how, especially in this climate with everything we've just talked about, I don't know how you get people to care. Like,
especially with a reboot or recasting Superman with Henry Cavill Light.
Yeah.
But even then, like, you've got, I mean, I've heard that Warner Brothers is scared of, now they're scared of Blue Beetle and Aquaman.
Oh, great.
Because of the reception that The Flash had. And I'm wondering, like, what, like, do you think it was, I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think it was, like, actor antics? Do you think it was, it's, like, the so-called superhero fatigue? Do you think it was, I have to wonder, how closely does the average moviegoer actually pay attention to these things?
I think it's a couple things. One, I think people still haven't fully recovered to going back to theaters in full force post COVID.
I don't know about that though.
Depending on the film. Like, I mean, Transformers kind of didn't really do as well as they thought. I mean, it did better than The Flash did, but I think part of it was the actor that plays The Flash constantly getting in trouble with the law was part of it.
But see, that goes back to how closely does the general moviegoer actually pay attention, you know?
Well, I mean,
and
people pay more attention than what you think to what actors do nowadays. I mean, people have boycotted things because of the private life of an actor. and or, you know, studios have dumped an actor because of their personal opinions on things. So, I mean, it's just very subjective on the lives of the actors, depending on where they sway on their meter of morality. And I think, one, that's part of it. I think, two, I think most people kind of didn't really know what direction DC was trying to go in. And I realized that they've changed directors and a lot of stuff was like back and forth, you know, before this actually got made.
Right.
So would you say there is an equal number of people that pay like that pay attention to actors and like pay attention to studio shenanigans? Like, do you think people just know that like they've like in their head, like this movie doesn't matter?
Like, I think most people that are going to the movies today are people like us. I'm not going to sit here and say the geeks have inherited the earth, but we kind of have. Yes, there is still the general movie-going populace, but if it's on the 6 o'clock news, they're going to know about it. And I only knew about... what's their name and their criminal shenanigans because I saw it on a news report. And it's the internet. Everything is... the news is written, YouTube, whatever you want to say, however you want to consume your news. The internet is everywhere and the news is just everywhere. I remember back in the 80s when I was a kid in 1988 or 89, I saw it on a current affair that Robert Downey Jr. was in jail. And he had all his drug issues throughout the 90s, and he didn't really make a full comeback until 2008 when he was going to be Iron Man. So if Robert Downey Jr. can spend the better part of a decade and a half in a slump and be Hollywood blacklisted before the internet really even took off, then yeah, I think that anyone today who's on social media who says... who is high profile enough, who says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing or makes the wrong impression, sure, anybody can, hell, I could be blacklisted, but nobody really cares about me.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that just people are objecting with their money at this point. Plus, didn't help that Warner Brothers essentially announced, you know, oh yeah, we're changing gears completely. Everything that came before doesn't matter. James Gunn's taking over. He's rebooting the universe. And people just kind of saw the flashes like, eh.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter. Like that's
what like why would I watch it? It's the storyline that they're leading up to at the end. It's not going to make any difference unless they plan on bringing this version of the Flash over into James Gunn's universe. The rest of it's kind of doesn't matter. And they've essentially written off, you know, all other. As far as some of the characters are concerned in that movie, written them off so that they'll never really return unless they have a need for it. Because there is an element in it that leaves a door open. So.
I was going to say
it's interesting. I just think both DC and Marvel are in the same mess.
Mm-hmm. Although DC never really got out of the mess and yeah. Marvel just climbed into it.
But I feel like DC's mess was caused by studio interference.
Yep.
Which every time that's still DC's mess.
Yeah. Whereas Marvel, it's like they don't really know where to go since Endgame.
But like, and that's the thing. I don't know why. I've said this before, but I don't know why DC came out the gate thinking all of their movies had to be 500 plus, you know, box office movies, like 500 plus million dollar movies or billion dollar movies out the gate. Like that Marvel didn't do that. Like all of phase one, like none of those outside of Avengers, none of those movies came close to $1 billion.
Yeah.
So like if for Warner Brothers to, and again, maybe that's part of like the studio problem, right? They give you $200 million to make a movie that probably, you probably only should have had like $100-150 million to make a movie with. But that said, like you can't, like you shouldn't give someone $200 million to craft the movie and then get mad when it doesn't have like a $1 billion return on it because you started something. Like you steamroll into the $1 billion movies. You don't start at the $1 billion movie mark. So, and I, you know what? I give James Gunn props. He's trying. They've got like a slate of movies that they've talked about and they've announced. I'll admit I will probably go and see all of them. I'll probably own all of them. But at the moment, like I don't, mark my words, if the new Superman movie isn't like doesn't sell gangbusters, you're going to see them revise all their plans again.
Yeah,
like
you get
one. He gets one. And like I know he's already done Suicide Squad for him, but he's got one basically. Like you've got one movie to show everybody what it's about, and the bad thing about it is you have two other movies coming out that have nothing to do with what's coming, and that's just going to drive the stock further into the ground.
Yeah.
So
I also think it's gotten to a point now where everybody, including just the general movie audience, might be sick of continuity-driven universes. We've had the Marvel Universe since 2008. DC wasn't technically a continuity-driven universe. They tried to be and failed, but like between the Marvel Cinematic Universe, between the Star Wars universe, between even the Star Trek stuff, any of the Star Trek stuff, even Transformers. Transformers is a toy brand that will go on forever and ever and ever, long after we're gone, but like, it just seems like, for me, I grew up in the 80s. I grew up watching most of the time single films. Like, I didn't know there was a sequel to Mannequin until like 3 years later after whenever it released, et cetera, et cetera. Or I didn't know there was a sequel to this, or there wasn't a sequel to something or whatever back in those days. And I think we're moving back into that, where maybe the single film, the one, whatever that story is, whatever that film is, it doesn't matter what it is, has a beginning, middle, and end, and that's it. You move on to the next film. I think we might be moving back into that, because I think maybe enough people are tired of continuity. And I can't believe that's me saying that, because I absolutely love continuity.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, speaking to that, Steve, did you finish it? Mike, have you seen the new Spider-Verse movie?
No, I'm waiting on the digital pre-order.
Okay, sorry. Did you say you did finish it, Steve?
I have not, but okay. I don't care if I'm spoiled, so.
Well, I'm just, my issue with that movie, like, it's just as pretty and it sounds just as good. Well, I don't know. Well, okay, it's just as pretty on a technical level, and you know the writing and everything is just as good as the first one. The music suffers a little bit. The music selection suffers a little bit, in my opinion, compared to the first one. But more importantly, the reason I bring this up is because we're just talking about movies with continuity in it. Like the second movie, like Spider-Verse 2, is inferior, in my opinion, to the first Spider-Man, to the first Spider-Verse movie, because it's, at the end of it all, it's 2.5 hours of setup for a third movie.
Yeah.
And that hurts it. Like, if you, like, the first Spider-Verse, yeah, it ends on a tiny little cliffhanger, like, a little nugget. Like, yeah, we could do another one if this one's, like, really well received. But there was, like, they crafted a perfect, like, superhero story in that movie that it sat on its own on the shelf. And I can't, like, talk about Spider-Verse 2 and as a whole without seeing the third one, because we're right back to what we talked about earlier, which was, does the third one retroactively make the second one whole? Like, it's not, and it, I have to look at it the same way I look at, like, the Matrix movies, which is, like, I look at it as, like, there's the Matrix, and then there's, like, yeah, there's Reloaded and Revolution, but they're one movie to me. like, I can't take them as two separate movies. I can't say Reloaded's a bad movie, and I can't say Revolution's a bad movie or a good movie, because I take them together, and I think they're fine together.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at this Spider-Verse movie, and I'm just like, man, it doesn't hit because it's not done. It's not a finished product. And that really bothered me about it.
Yeah. And that's what stinks. Like you said, the first film had a little bit of a, hey, Miles, you want to come over to my world for a cup of coffee or whatever? I'm just using that as an example. I honestly don't remember. I know that the portal opened at the, you know, but like there was a little, a little tiny thing that may or may not happen financially, regard or whatever, doesn't matter. But like content story wise, that film, as you said, beginning, middle, and end, it had a full story. And if the new film Across the Spider-Verse is just a full setup to Beyond the Spider-Verse, well, then the only way I'll be happy is if Batman shows up. Come on, Steve, you know that was funny.
It's Shway.
It's Schwarbage.
But seriously, though, yeah, don't try to sell us individual, and I know they said part one, and that's fine, and that's all well and good, and they said that from the onset with Across the Spider-Verse. But don't do a whole movie that's all set up and then have us wait however many years. I'm just going to say two, but let's say 2, 3, 4, whatever.
It's supposed to be March of next year.
Okay, well, one then. But, you know, don't, okay, so, all right, March 9th, that's not that long a wait, but, like, all this setup and no real payoff at the end, and then you have us wait a year? That's just, in this day and age where even me, I want instantaneous everything half the time, everybody does, like, you know, we want that instant coffee before it burns. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Feed it to me, feed it to me, feed it to me. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, let me back up real quick. I just want to rephrase for anyone that's yelling at the podcast right now about Spider-Verse. Like, I was not, I knew full well it was part one of a two-part movie. I knew full well about that. And I was not mad that it ended on a cliffhanger. I'm mad that I can't, like, I can't say if the movie's good or not because it's you not done. Seen the
whole movie. Yeah.
That's what I'm mad about. I'm not mad that it landed on a cliffhanger. It looked phenomenal. I can't wait to watch it at home because I think like the first Spider-Verse, like I can't that movie.
It's a piece of art.
It makes me feel things that no other thing like does. No other medium does. And I don't know what it is. I talk to my wife about it like all the time. I do not know what it is. Like that movie just it hits me in a way that like nothing else like ever has. And I went into like even the trailers for Across the Spider-Verse like hit me like that. And so I was like super excited for it. But like when I watched the movie, like, yeah, it was pretty, it was jaw dropping and the sound, I didn't have a problem with the sound mixing. I know other people did, but like, I really liked it. I liked everything that I saw, but it didn't hit really hard. And so I don't think I fell in love with Into the Spider-Verse until I watched it home. Like I remember going and seeing it in the theater and be like, man, that was phenomenal, but I don't think it became the movie that it is to me now until I was able to watch it at home. So I'm hoping Across the Spider-Verse has that same like tail on it. Like it will, like stuff will hit harder being able to watch it at home rather than in a theater. But even then, like even if it does land, I still know I'm going to be watching like an incomplete movie. And that's fine. I knew that. They didn't sell me like a bill of like,
right,
you
yeah
know, they didn't pull one over on me anyways. I know people that like you said, Mike, they're used to like binge watching a TV show or just getting it all out of the way right now. They're not used to having to wait. But you know, these are people that also didn't grow up with Back to the Future 2.
Yes.
And then having to wait for the third one, like it's they didn't have to live through that, like
yeah. But, see, that's the problem. Okay, I know I don't know, but I'm going to say I know. Like Hollywood, when they want to do something like Back to the Future 2 and 3, film it back to back, get all the production done all out at once or whatever, and then release one in 88 and one in 90. Or was it 80? Yeah, it was.
It were your part.
So then it was 89 and 90.
Something very familiar about all this.
Doc, calm down, okay? Just calm down. It's me. It's Marty.
No, it can't be you. I sent you back to the future.
They do that sometimes. They did it with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no, I know they... Right, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, like, in this day and age, if you do that, find a way to say, okay, like, okay, perfect example is, and Mike, I know you've probably played it at least once, the Miles Morales... Spider-Man 1.2 or 1. Whatever the 1.5 version of Spider-Man PS4 is, where Miles
it's not 1.4, it's just Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah. I was making a Spider-Man 2.1 joke.
Now it's your turn. Go be a hero, Miles.
Okay. Let's do this.
PlayStation. But yeah, the Miles Morales Spider-Man, where it's basically winter in New York at the time. Like, release Into the Spider-Verse, or release Across the Spider-Verse in the winter of 2023, and then release... And I know animation takes a hell of a lot longer and all that, but I'm just saying, like, just as a general thing, then release the other one maybe late summer, early fall... in the same year, especially if it's that much, it's not that much of a whatever like you're saying, but it probably is. Like, if it ends on a cliffhanger, don't leave us hanging off the cliff for a year, people.
Well, I think the only movie that I know they used to do that, like, mm-hmm. a long time, like, serials used to do that, right?
Yeah, used to do that, yep.
But the only movie that I can think of that's done that in my time is Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions, which was May and November of 2003. Was it three? Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yes. But yeah, it was May, November 2003.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, I mean, they did fairly well for being rated R movies and whatnot, box office wise, but like, I can't think of another anything that's done that.
Yeah.
I was shocked that that part two was coming in March. Like I was expecting it to be like you said, two, 3 years down the road, which there are a lot of interviews lately, like with people that say there's no way it's coming out in March, but we'll see what happens.
And I think it's because over our lifetimes, however old or young we are, we've gotten used to the fact, like, when I was a kid, okay, Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, 84 and 87, they're 3 years apart. We were used to that whole thing of, okay, if you see a first movie and you know, or you may think there may be a second movie coming, it's probably going to be at least a minimum of 2 years before you see that second film, kind of thing. And... like we've already said in this episode so far, nowadays, that really, I mean, it is the case, but it isn't the case because, again, we now have streaming, we now have this, we now have that. We have Disney doing all kinds of stuff with the Marvel Cinematic. Like, here's this. Instead of going to the theater, we'll just dump it on Disney Plus and you can watch it at home. And look, I am all for, I don't leave my apartment. I said this 2 weeks ago. I am all for the comfort of watching something in my own home. Like you were saying a moment ago with Across the Spider-Verse, maybe when you watch it at home, you'll feel differently than when you felt in the theater. Because in the theater, to me, you're going for the theatrical experience of seeing it on the big screen. You're not really going to the theater to absorb every single specific detail of the film and then analyze it on a podcast the next night or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you're there for that big screen experience more so than to drink everything else all in, I guess. I don't know. Steve, thoughts?
Man,
Wait, what?
I don't know.
I think he wants to talk about his 3D printer.
Sure. You print a Yoda yet? Or a Megatron?
No, I've gotten a couple of small objects that I've printed and had it go on my Transformer figures. Mm-hmm. But every time I've tried to print a couple of larger objects, I've not had great luck. I was trying to print the IDW Megatron, and I looked over and I realized it stopped like spitting out 3D printing material, but it was still moving.
He's had technical difficulties with this thing since he had it, folks.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go listen to all things Transformers, why don't you tell the lovely people of Altered Geek what your technical difficulties were in getting this thing set up?
The fact that it just wouldn't print or stick to the board. I've upgraded multiple parts on this thing already, which has helped. But I've learned that 3D printers are very finicky, not only with temperature, but you have to get this thing leveled like almost perfectly on the board, or it just doesn't print. And I've learned that they're really annoying to deal with when they just decide to stop printing. But otherwise, like the few things I have gotten printed out of it have turned out really nicely. And the plastic itself is, because I'm using the there's multiple different types of plastic you can use. Some of them have different strengths and capabilities. There's the pretty standard one for like newbies is like the PLA plastics, which are harder overall when they've been like, so if you're building a model, they're great, but if you're building something that you want a little bit of give for, then you need to use like ABS plastics, which are in like your general figures, like action figures and things like that, because the PLA plastics will snap if there's a lot of excess bending. So I'm learning the things about the plastics and then the softwares and things like that. My next project is going to be learning how to continue a failed print, which you can do through, I guess, the software. People show how to, you measure it and basically slice it off of the top, and then it will print just that section, and then you just glue it to the pre-existing one. But yeah, I've printed like leg extensions for like a Rhinox figure. I've printed a shoulder mounted cannon for G2 Megatron, and like the EMH's badge that goes on his shoulder for Star Trek Voyager. But I'm trying to print, like I said, an IDW Megatron and the Enterprise from Star Trek Picard season 3. So
very cool.
Yeah, the leveling the board is definitely the hardest part, and then when the printing capability of it, when it decides that it gets clogged very easily, which sucks because you have to tear it apart.
Oh dang.
I've had to do this once already. I've learned too, though, that sometimes the 3D printers come with like subpar quality parts. So, but yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, so I'm still learning quite a bit about it. If I can get this thing figured out, then there's many things I would like to print with it. It's just until I can get the free models figured out, I don't want to purchase any STL files that I can print objects that other people have created. So,
Interesting.
Yeah. So working with tech is difficult sometimes, but it's still interesting to see and to try and have to learn something new. On the plus side, I did get I took a IT certification couple weeks ago.
Cool.
And I passed it. I bought it in like January after my last layoff, and then I was like, I'll get to it at some point. And then I was like, yeah, I should probably just take it and be done with it. And then they're like, I learned that when you do an IT certification remotely, mm-hmm. like without being at a physical location, they are almost tediously annoying to make sure that you have nothing in your vicinity to cheat with.
Yeah.
Not that I was like intending on it. I was like, I've moved everything of reason off of my desk. And they were like, show us the surrounding on your webcam, you know, because they make you have your webcam on while you're taking it, which is also borderline annoying, even though they already have like a software that they can see what apps you have open.
Yeah.
So I turned it around and I showed them. I'm like, I just put like boards over the part of my desk I didn't want to move everything for. And then they saw three monitors on the other side. I was using my laptop, so I didn't have to unplug my monitors because I absolutely loathe that. And they were like, yeah, we need you to unplug and show us the plugs from the outlet on the wall for these three monitors. I'm like, I can't even get to the plug.
What?
Yeah. So I had to show them on the camera like that I physically pulled the power cord out of the back of the monitors because I was like, I can't get to where the plug is at to unplug these from the wall because the way my office is set up. So right. it was just irritating, but but yeah, it was just totally stupid how that whole thing worked. But I'm glad that I passed it.
Cool. Yeah, you're always good at the schoolwork stuff.
Well, I didn't even really study. So the questions it was asking me on some of the things, I was kind of surprised that I passed.
Oh my God.
Well, it was asking me programming questions for IT stuff, and I'm like, for this certification, it's like I wouldn't be doing any programming whatsoever. So it was really annoying how it kept asking.
Hmm.
So
weird.
Yeah.
Mike, what kind of tech have you been using lately?
Oh, geez. I was trying to think all week or the last 2 weeks, like what I could possibly like talk about. And I don't know. We talked about the AirPod, you know, for a second, like off camera. I've been dealing with what I've diagnosed now as a faulty AirPod. Which really kind of like irritates me just a little bit. My wife got me the AirPod Pros for an anniversary gift in 21, and the right AirPod within the last like it's probably been going on for a while, but I've just not really paid attention to it until recently. The right earbud, it's just distorted, like a driver in it is blown or something. It still plays audio and stuff like that, but it's really weird. If you turn on any type of like noise cancellation feature, which activates like the microphone on the outside of it to achieve that, and you talk in any way, shape, or form, it's just a massive garble static thing fest in your ear. And obviously it's not supposed to be that way. And so I've been dealing with, I tried like a number of different things. I like cleaned them. I even bought like, you know, blue sticky tack and pulled a bunch of crud out of like the vents and all that crap and got them back to like pristine condition. And it's just bad. So I'm going to order a new pair next week. I just have to figure out what I want to order.
Yeah. There's so many choices now,
but so there's that. And I guess like the only other thing I could think of is like, since last time I'd been on before last, I was was like, what, 21? What did we say?
Yeah, before 2 weeks.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had actually updated all of my home theater equipment since I think I'd done half of it right like before we recorded. I remember in 21 I got a new receiver and a new Blu-ray player. I have an Xbox Series X and I have a PlayStation 5 and they're both Blu-ray players, but I've never ever since the PS2 and the second gen of the PS3, I've never used a console as any type of a media device. In my home, they only exist to play games. I don't even use like the streaming apps on them. They are there only to play games. So I had these, you know, I had a 4K Blu-ray player in the PlayStation 5 and the Series X, and I was like, I don't know. I think
you just bring yourself to use it.
No, because in my head, that watching movies is something that I do a lot, and I don't want, like, you hear about drive failures all the time.
Right.
And granted, now I buy almost all of my games digitally now, but I still don't want like a component in there to fail. So I'm just not going to use it.
Right.
But I ended up spending almost as much as just about as much as a PS5 on a 4K Blu-ray player.
Whoa.
Because I was looking for one. I wanted one specific. So getting a Blu-ray player that actually does Dolby Vision is expensive.
Okay.
And that's why mine was so expensive, is because I wanted one that actually handled Dolby Vision. And it does a number of other little cool features that only like I care about at the end of the day.
Okay.
Well, like for example, for like HDR content, you can tell the player what type of display it's hooked up to.
Mm-hmm.
So that when it's displaying HDR content, it can remaster the content in real time for the display. More or less, that's what it's doing. But I will say, I used to be able to, before I bought this player, I was still buying physical discs, but my wife and I, we were just watching the digital copy, the digital 4K copy, so we could watch it in Dolby Vision. And it was some point in like after we bought it, I think it was The Batman. We were watching that. We watched it digitally. And no. It was the Matrix. The new Matrix movie.
Resolution?
No, whatever the most recent one is.
Resurrection.
We watched that movie when it came out streaming on HBO Max, and we're like, that was okay. Sure, whatever. All right, fine. And I like the Matrix movie, so I went ahead and ordered it anyways. And when it arrived on disc, I threw it in the Blu-ray player, and it was like night and day. For both myself and my wife. So it's not just like, it's not just me being like a snob. My wife even commented on it. Like, and it wasn't so much like the picture, although the picture was a little better, just coming off of a disc. It was the audio that blew us away, because one of the first things that gets cut back in streaming is audio to save on bitrate for the picture.
Right.
Because I think it's like, you know, if someone's streaming something, you don't know if they're streaming it on like a sound system or if they're streaming it on their phone. So yeah. We don't need to, you know, supply you with that. We don't need to cap the bandwidth for audio. Like, we can just save it all for the video portion of it. So it looks really good, but it sounds like, you know, it doesn't sound as good. And ever since then, we've noticed, like, you know, we'll watch something when it's released on Disney Plus, or like, again, with The Batman. Like, we watched The Batman, and the subway scene at the beginning, like, it's a really cool scene, but it's way more visceral hearing it off of the disc.
Mm.
And it's I don't know. When I was upgrading all my stuff and I spent that money on the player, it was this very weird thing. Just like, I can't believe I just dropped this just so I could like watch movies, but I'm like, that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
And it's especially now, it's been so weird, like, just to be able to see and like hear that, like that difference, especially like when it comes to the audio. Like, I never even like realized what I was like technically missing until like I got this player. But that's because I had been watching everything like streaming. Like, I didn't even realize what was going on. I was like, I'd kind of fallen into that. It's good enough. And I was like, now I'm like, man, I tell my wife, I was like, you know, we could watch this when it comes out on streaming, but I think I'm going to wait until I can actually get the disc, because I just want to be blown away, like, right from the get go. Cause if it's a bad movie, like,
you don't want to ever. Yeah.
Well, she, first of all, I'll watch it again, but she probably wouldn't want to watch it again. And then that right there, like, limits, like, when I can watch it and how I can watch it. Right. Cause, like, you know, she might be trying to sleep while I've got, like, the subwoofer turned on, and I don't know, it just becomes a whole thing, but
right.
Whatever. So yeah. And then late last November, when we moved into this house, I made the jump to an OLED TV in 2019. And I wasn't still am completely in awe of that TV and what it's been able to accomplish. And then last November, I bought a larger OLED TV for my main, like, home theater room in the house. So I've completely upgraded all of my, like, home theater stuff. So now it's like, when we go to the movies, it's like even harder to justify going to the movies.
Yeah.
So,
because the movies don't have the quality that you have, that you've built up over these last few years. And honestly, I don't want to sit in a large room with a bunch of strangers. I want to sit in front of my own TV with whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be at home and I want to control the content.
Yeah, I don't know what I really don't know what it is. I genuinely have not had a bad movie theater experience until, like, my last three outings. Like, I was not to the point where, like, I want to, like, get up and, like, walk out or anything like that. But it was like,
right.
I was genuinely annoyed by, like, just, like, these, just, like, the people, like, around me. It was mm-hmm. that had never happened to me before. So it was very off-putting. Like, Allie and I even, like, kind of discussed it, and we were in the AMC, like, Stubbs program, which is like, you pay them $20 a month and you can see three movies a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we canceled that and we just decided, well, we'll go see Mission Impossible and the Turtles movie, and then we're probably done going to the movie theater. And it's not just like the people either. Like, I go, like, cause I was a projectionist. I was a theater technician. Like, I go and I sit down, especially in the theater that we go to. We always go to the same one. We always get the exact same seats. And it's the theater that I installed when I was a theater technician. So I know how it's supposed to look and I know what can go wrong with it. And so I sit down in the seat and I'm looking at it and it's like, there's already something wrong.
Oh no.
And so it's like, is it enough? Like, can I sit here and deal with this? Do I even, like, and then it becomes like, you know, my wife can tell that I'm, like, moderately uncomfortable about something, but it's like, do I tell her what it is? Because it's like that thing that, like, once you see it, you'll never not see it. So it's like, you have to, like, kind of keep it to yourself. So you're not, like, ruining it for, like, other people that can't tell. And it's just like, and I think the last time we went, Allie was like, is there like dark circles on like circles and like half circles, like on the lower portion of the screen? I'm like, yeah, there are. They're called screen shakers. They're broken. Basically what they are, like, some of the larger screens,
mm-hmm.
Literally behind them, they do exactly what they're called. They're called screen shakers. There are little arms that have a pad on the end of them, and they gently sit on the back side of the screen and they vibrate. It's supposed to help with, like, light refraction, so that if it's because the brighter something gets, the more intense the colors get. And if it doesn't, with the larger screens, it can distort the image. So by shaking the screen just a little bit, it controls the refraction of the light and it provides a cleaner image. But what happens is these shakers, they get stuck in a position pressing into this backside of the screen, and you can see them, like, when a bright white light is shining on the screen, you can see them poking through the backside of the screen when they're broken.
Oh, dang.
So my wife noticed that. I didn't tell her about it either. She just leaned over. She goes, is there, like, a bunch of stuff on the screen? I'm like, yeah, there is.
It's been there since the last three times we've come here.
Yeah, I said that. I was like, yeah, it's been that way. And then we went and saw Fast 10, and it was just a mess. It was just a freaking mess. We went and saw Fast 10, and they only played it on one projector. It was supposed to be played on two. Great. And I kept, while the pre-show was on, I looked up at the projection booth and only one projector was on. I was like, okay, it's the pre-show, whatever, it's fine. Okay, no one cares. And then the trailer started and I'm like, okay, it's still one projector. All right, maybe it'll flip over like it's supposed to. And then the movie started and it was still playing off of one projector. And I'm like, mother. And then the one before that, it did play on two projectors, but the two projectors were out of alignment.
Oh my God.
So that was, but see again, like it was only off by pixels, but and you can see it if you're looking at font, but mm-hmm. a lot of people don't know what it is that they're looking at. Like, and so I'm like, dang, damn it. That's like, at the end of it, we're just like, no, we're not. And that's on top of people like talking like in our same row or being a little too like rambunctious, like what the case was with Across the Spider-Verse. And we're just like, you know what? I don't know why these guys want to pay $40 to go sit in a movie theater and talk.
Like, yeah, really.
I thought maybe I would do myself a favor by going to the most expensive house in the theater at like, you know, a 7, 9, 10 PM show. But no, apparently that's where all the talky people go. Yeah, I don't know.
And I know you probably can't do this. I don't remember if you can or you can't. I never go to evening shows. I always go to the earliest matinee right after lunch because I know only three people besides me are going to be there.
So we did do that. We were doing like the matinee stuff, like, and those were pleasant. But like I said earlier, I go to the same house. I go to the same theater, same mm-hmm. house, same seats. So when I'm trying to get movie tickets, I've got notifications for when tickets go on sale for movies, right? So mm-hmm. I get in there, like as fast as I get the notification, I get in there and I try for like to get like the seats on like a Saturday or Sunday. And I will literally go in there and they'll be like, the two tickets that are gone are our seats. I'm like, all right, moving on to the next showtime. Like I'm not even considering any other seats, like even in the row in front or in back of those two seats. It's all right, the 12 o'clock shows, those two seats are gone. All right, what's the 3 o'clock show look like? That's not there. All right, I'm looking at seven. Like, and I do that on Saturday. I'll do that like on Saturday and Sunday. And like the day ones worked for a little while, and then we ended up being forced to like having to go to the, I say forced because, you know, fear of missing out, which I don't really have, but because I wasn't talking with anybody about movies. But like I like to see movies like opening weekend if I can. And so it's like, well, now we have to go to like seven. I think when we were going to go see The Flash, like the only house I could go with my seats was like a 10 PM show, which, you know, we just didn't end up feeling like it because we had such a bad experience with the three previous movies. But and again, that's partially on me. Like I want those same two seats. Like,
yeah, it's a routine. And if you have a routine, you want to be able to stick to your routine. And when you get knocked out of your routine, you just get all flummoxed. It happens to me on a daily basis sometimes.
It's that. And because I was there when we did the install for that theater, I know that that's where they sat when they did the calibrations for the microphones for the speakers.
Right.
Which I know you can make the Big Bang Theory joke about Sheldon doing his stupid noise thing, but I was there with when they had the actual computers and the actual microphones set up, and yeah, so yeah, that was, I don't know, but yeah, no, I ended up upgrading all my stuff and I tinker with that a little bit here and there, because like there's some stuff like I read on forums about that you can do like in the service menus, and I turned my Logitech remote into a service menu remote.
Cool.
So I can get access to settings on my TV that you don't have, the regular consumer person doesn't have access to, and actually end up making the TV into a better TV than what they actually sell, like, to the consumer.
So. Absolutely. All control is remote. Steve, what about you? When's the last time you were in a movie theater?
I think a year and a half ago. What'd you see? A family movie with the kids.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I like I've already said, I'm a control freak, so, and I don't like leaving my apartment, so I'd rather wait. Like, and I'm sure I could find this. It's the internet, obviously. You can almost find anything, but like, I wish certain websites would say, oh, you can pre-order this now. We won't charge you until the release date, which is fine. I don't mind that. That's absolutely fine. But like, tell me when the actual projected release date is. That's what I want to know. So that way I don't have to necessarily pre-order it. I can just wait until that day and then buy it. Oh, digital content. What else would you like to bring up, Steve?
No, I think that's about it, man.
Okay.
I don't really have anything else.
Nothing else, really?
No.
Oh, all right. I feel like he's fishing.
What's that?
Yes.
I feel like he's fishing.
No. I have a fishing pole and Daniel is sitting next to me.
No, I don't fish.
No, he's saying I'm fishing to you.
Oh.
Fish are jumping today, huh, Dano?
I guess so.
Hey, what's the matter?
I don't know, Hot Rod.
Come on, you can tell me.
Guess I just miss my dad.
Don't worry, Spike will be back soon. Oh, hey, I caught something.
Of it.
Yep, it's a whopper, all right.
Hot Rod, the shuttle's coming. Let's watch it land.
Talk about dull, Daniel.
Hurry, or we'll miss it.
As far as me and my I have my tower. I have my Google Pixel 6 Pro. I probably won't end up getting a new... Oh, okay. Briefly before we close out, just so I can eventually put in an ad break somewhere around here.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
We brought the entire convention center to the brink of an intergenre geek war.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Kansas is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
I'm not that thrilled with the first Pixel Fold. I will be waiting until the Fold 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Wait, you want a foldable phone?
At some point.
Why?
So I can read comics on it. Because Comixology and Amazon screwed me over out of being able to read comics on my 32-inch monitor, and I have to read them on my Google Pixel 6 Pro. I take it you're not a fan of the folding phones?
No.
Okay. No. That's all right. Well, we know what we're talking about next week, folks. Folding phones. You heard it here first.
No, we're not. We're not talking about folding
phones.
Come
on.
No.
Not next week. In 2 weeks.
No, not even in 2 weeks we're not talking about folding phones.
Hey, it's one way to get a tablet without having to pay tablet prices.
It's still not a tablet.
No, it's a folding phone. All right, Steve, you can...
It's called breaking in style.
Ah, funny. Yeah. I'd rather break out in style instead of breaking in style. Who knows?
I'm going to pull a mic.
Of course you are.
He's going to break a bad with it, but...
Get the fuck out of here and never come back.
Anyways, so what do you guys think on the internets there? Let us know on the website, geekcastradio.com, or on the social medias. Everybody knows where to find us. I don't need to repeat it. So yeah, let us know about what you think of with the whole superhero thing and the films and what tech gadgets you're getting into, and if you found any interest whatsoever in this episode, let us know.
The defiant fascination with Star Trek. There you go. Right there. That's gold, Jerry, gold.
I have been Steve Megatron, and you guys have been
TF2 and Mike.
Mike with Ninja Powers.
Yes. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Did we take over your show?
Oh, don't make me feel bad.
No! That's not... I'm talking about me. Hello.
You always do.
Well,
Blanchard.
Where's that button?
Yes.
Folding phones, huh? No go, huh, Mike?
No, it's... I'll say the same thing my dad said about, like, when the trucks came out that had the rear steering on them. They're just massive dollar signs with repairs over, like, that's all it is. Like, I don't... You're introducing a fail point into something that at this point should not have a fail point. Like,
very true.
But I'm also weirded out by like it had been forever since I had gotten Apple Care on something, but when I bought my iPad Pro in 2018, I got Apple Care on it because it was an LCD with rounded corners.
Oh, well, yeah, then you need Apple Care on that.
But that was like, to me, that was black magic because LCD is not meant to be like cut or printed in any other shape than rectangle. And I'm 90% sure, like, I've seen like teardowns. Like, I know that they just like the screen extends beyond the corners and they just cut like it. It's an animation. You know, it's a UI effect where it looks like it's rounded, but it's just cutting off like the corner so you can't like see it extending out past, which that's fine. But like in my head, like that was black magic, like just the way that I know that technology works. So I was like, nope, I'm getting some type of protection on this because this is something absolutely insane. And if something goes wrong with it, I don't want to be like stuck with it for, you know, because it like crapped the bed.
Alrighty then.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.